Hello. So welcome everyone to Seton Bourne Baptist Church's sort of Sunday school session for Sunday the 28th of June. Really enjoying doing these sessions. I really do like looking into the Bible and understanding the Word of God more. And especially some of these sessions that we've been doing about what Christians should know, because it's really, really important that you understand what you're going into when you're serving as a Christian. And some of the really great things that we've learned in the last 2 weeks, I think, have been like, not only does God ask you to do some hard stuff, but he also gives you all the equipment that you need to do it. And that's really, really important to know. But before we go into today's session, which is about the armor of God, two things. First of all, last week, do you remember what we were talking about? And what all of the things that we talked about? Do you remember the 9 things? I know I added 2 on, but do you remember what they were? So we were looking at the fruits of the Spirit. Do you remember what they are? Because that's the important thing that you should have picked up from the lesson. Really, to try and remember all the fruits of the Spirit so that when you have difficulty with any one of them, then you can, you can ask God to help you to grow that fruit in your life. So I will tell you, they were love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And then we also added to that generosity and modesty. Yeah. So I hope that you do work hard to remember the fruits of the Spirit. It is important for you to know them. If you go around calling yourself a Christian, there are some things that Christians should know that are in the Bible. And that is definitely one of them. So before we talk about the armor of God today, I do have a little game. Today I'm thinking of an animal and I would like you to try and guess what it is. It's just for fun, so don't put any pressure on yourself. You get 5 clues and the number of points that you would get goes down. But it's just for fun. No one is going to check on whether you know what animal this is. So the first clue for 5 points is that it is an animal that you find on the farm. An animal that you find on the farm. Right. Can you guess what that could be? For 4 points, this is an animal without any feathers. So this animal does not have any feathers. For 3 points, it's an animal that walks on 4 legs. Does that help at all? Can you guess what it is now? For 2 points, when you measure how tall this animal is, you measure it in hands. Does that help at all? Do you know enough about this animal to know that? Okay, and the last one. This animal's babies are called foals. They're called foals. So does that help you to know what that animal is? If you were thinking of a horse, then you are correct. Okay. Right. Okay. So let's look at the armor of God. So we know that there are a lot of things that God asks us to do and to be, and a lot of different things that we might even have to give up when we are Christians and when we're trying to be more like Jesus. When we look at Ephesians chapter 6, the writer, Paul, he talks to children and he tells them to obey their parents. He talks to fathers and tells them not to be too hard on their children. He talks to slaves and he asks them to obey their masters
and to serve with a good heart, as if they're serving the Lord. He talks to masters and he tells them to treat their slaves, because they had slaves in those days, to treat their slaves kindly. And then in chapter 10, he starts talking about the armor of God. When we're talking about the armor of God, you have to think as if you are in a war. Okay, so basically there are two sides in this battle. There's God's side and there's the devil's side. And, you know, you can't really have one without the other, because you can't say that you believe in God and not think that the devil does not exist and think that the devil does not exist. It is just, you know, there has to be a bad side. If there's a good side that helps us to do good things, then you have to believe that the devil is there and he tries to make us do bad things. He tries to trick us into not trusting God and to doing things that are wrong, things that would hurt other people, things that are not good for us, things that would that go against what God says to do. Also, God really wants us to have a good life, and the devil just wants the opposite of that. God wants us, and God says a lot of great things about us as individuals in the Bible. As you get older and you read the Bible more, you have to try and personalize the things that God says. So when, like we talked about last week, where the Bible was saying, or in the first week when we were talking about John chapter 10, verse 10, where it says the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full, or to have the life more abundantly. That was Jesus talking. So when you get older, you have to try and personalize that and to say that the thief comes but to steal from me, to kill me, and to destroy my life. That is how you personalize it. But you also personalize the good side of that, where it says, but Jesus came so that I might have life and that I might have it to the absolute full. You know, Jesus wants us to have our lives to the max, to enjoy it to the absolute max. So you have to personalize the things that God says about you in the Bible, because the Bible is not just written for everybody, but it is written for you personally. And you have to take it like a letter that God has written to you, and you have to believe what God says about you more than you believe what other people say about you. You even have to believe what God says about you above what you might think about yourself. Because sometimes we think bad things about ourselves, or we don't believe we can do things. And the Bible is full of examples where God would tell people, I want you to do some work for me. And that person will start giving excuses, like Moses. Moses started saying, I can't go and talk to Pharaoh. I'm not very good at speaking. I don't speak very well. And he had lots of excuses to give God about why he shouldn't do the job that God wanted him to do. And sometimes we're a little bit like that. Because sometimes people will give us evidence and they will give us things that we have done that are bad, or things that we have done that are wrong. And we might even have things that we could say, oh, maybe we could say something negative about ourselves, like I'm really stupid because this is what I've done. But our actions do not, they're not all of our lives. We might do one stupid thing, but that doesn't mean we as a person are stupid. So even though you might have some, you know, you might have proof, you might have actually done some things that are not very good or very clever. But God always holds on to that fact that we can change. Anybody can change. You can be a better person starting today. You can be a better person. You can decide to start making good decisions and do the right thing. So whatever we might think of ourselves, sometimes it can be very unreliable. Maybe we're very young and we break things. I used to do that. I used to break glasses, cups, plates in our house all the time. And it doesn't mean that I do that now. I don't do that now. I'm a lot more careful and I've outgrown that. But at that time, I wouldn't have said that I was going to use plastic plates and cups all my life and not be trusted to use glasses. But it was just something that I had to grow out of. So even some of the things that we do and some of the things that we know about ourselves now as we are younger, it's not very reliable because we can grow up to be different people. So we have to really listen and know what God says about us. God knows us best. And God says we are good enough. And so that means that anytime we don't feel like we're good enough, maybe we have done something silly or something that's not very clever, then maybe at that point we've just made a mistake. That's all we've done. We've just made a mistake. And all God wants us to do is to say sorry, and then that's it. We don't have to worry about it. But the devil plays tricks on us. And he tries to pretend that we know what we're doing, even when we don't know what we're doing. Sometimes when we're very young, we can do some silly things, and the devil tries to tell us that, oh, it's a good idea to do this thing or that thing. We have to be very, very careful not to listen to that. Adam and Eve were not careful, and they listened to what the devil was telling them to do. And they ended up making a big, big mistake and pushing themselves away from God. So in order for us to make those right decisions, God has given us the armor of God to protect us, because he knew that we would need to have our whole body covered before we go into everyday life. Because some of the things that come and attack us, they look really good. It's like sweets. Sweets are really good and they taste nice. But we can't eat sweets every day. And we can't eat a whole packet of sweets all by ourselves. It's not a good idea. We'll make ourselves feel ill. So whenever we have that feeling that, oh, this is what I want and this is what I'm just going to have what I want, it's not a good idea. And God can help us by reminding us that, yeah, we can have sweets, but we shouldn't have so much at one time. We have to have a few sweets and then leave the rest for another time, or even maybe share them with someone else. So there's certain things that God has given us, and one of them is this armor of God. And the armor of God has got 6 pieces to it. Okay. And those pieces are outlined in Ephesians chapter 6, as I said. When it starts talking about the armor of God, the Bible says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's plans. For your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm." That part is talking about how if somebody comes and is horrible to you, your fight is not against that person necessarily, even if they come and do it a lot. Even if they're bullying you, even if they're being horrible, really and truly, your fight is not against that person. It's against the influences that are making that person do the horrible things or say the horrible things to you. So really and truly, people should get on. But because it is it's a war between God and the devil, and there is an army of God and there is an army of the devil. And both of those armies are trying to recruit people. They're trying to get more people on their side. So sometimes the devil wins and he might influence somebody or make somebody do or say something horrible to you. Then you really just need to pray for that person, that they will be kinder and that they would know God more. And be friendly and be nice. So in verse 13, it says, "Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. And then in verse 14, it starts telling us about the pieces of the armor of God. And I'm just going to read it through and then we'll break it down into each of the pieces. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So that was Ephesians chapter 6. And the full armor of God, it starts talking about it from verse 14 to verse 17. So we're going to look at it like a person. And if you would like, you can have a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen and start drawing, draw the outline of a person and start drawing the pieces of the armor of God as I am talking. So you can pause this recording for a little while you get your pieces of paper and a pen or pencil to write with. And then maybe, if you like, you can color it in and maybe just enjoy some time filling in all the pieces, the six pieces of the armor of God, so that you won't forget them. It might be a tool that will help you to remember. So pause the recording if you want to get your pen and pencil and paper. Right, well, if you've decided to do the drawing, I hope that you've got it and you've got your outline of a person's head and body, arms and legs. It can be just a rough drawing and you can draw a more detailed one later if you like. So we're going to start from the top of the person's head. And the first thing we're going to talk about is the helmet of salvation. Now, a helmet goes over your head and it protects your head, your brain, your eyes, your ears, and your jaw, your mouth. And sometimes it comes down a little bit over your neck. So it protects your brain, which is obviously very, very important. But the things that we think about need to be protected. Now, this is the helmet of salvation. And it is a helmet that we can get when we get saved and when we ask God to come, Jesus to come into our lives and to help us be a better person. And we give our lives to God so that he works in us more than anything else. So the helmet of salvation is something that God gives you. It's not something that you have to earn. None of these pieces are things that we have to earn. These are things that God gives us to help us and to protect us in a battle against all the things that the devil is going to try and throw at us. And some of the things that he throws at us are the things that we think. Maybe because of the things we've been watching through our eyes or the music we've been listening to, we might have bad thoughts. We might have bad thoughts about ourselves or bad thoughts about other people. Or, you know, if we let our minds just sit there, we might start thinking bad thoughts or negative thoughts or sad thoughts. So the helmet of salvation is really to protect your thinking, to protect all the things that go through your head. And you should be careful what you watch. You should be careful what you listen to. Like I said, the most important person who talks to us about ourselves is God. And that's who we should listen to because he knows what we can become. He knows how amazing we can become. So that is the helmet of salvation. And you put it on your head and it protects your thoughts. Then as we go down the body, we come to our chest. Now, our chest has got lots of vital organs in it. We've got our heart that pumps blood all over our body. We've got our lungs that help us to breathe in and out. We need to do that all the time. Our stomach is there as well, where our food and digestion and energy come from. All of that needs protecting. And for that, we have a breastplate of righteousness. The righteousness is being correct, doing the right thing at the right time. And that comes from Jesus. When Jesus came on earth, he did the right thing at the right time every day of his life. And when he went to the cross to die for us, He took on all of the things that we would do wrong. Not just today or next week, but forever. He took on everything that we would possibly do wrong. And when we give our lives to God, and when we ask Him to come and save us, we are saying yes to Jesus' offer to take all of our sins on Himself. So He had righteousness. He had done the right thing every day of His life, which we find very, very hard to do. So He had righteousness. We didn't have righteousness. But because He went on the cross to die for us, He took on all our sins and He gives us righteousness. Again, this is something we don't earn. The only thing we have to do is say yes to God and say, yes, I want to be your friend and I want to be your child and I want you to help me look, you know, to be a better person. Then we get this breastplate of righteousness. So it comes on your chest and you could draw like a vest type thing over your chest. That is your righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness will help us to make the right choices because we always have a choice. Even if we're thinking about taking something that's not ours, we always have a choice. We can choose to do the right thing and say no to friends asking us to do wrong things or to be horrible to someone else. We can always do the right thing. So the breastplate of righteousness protects our heart from wanting the wrong things. And God sees us through Jesus when we have that righteousness. He sees that he sort of sees more of Jesus's right choices than our right choices because we've done that swap with Jesus. Jesus has taken on all our sin and we take on His righteousness. So although we might not make the right choices, but when we ask God to forgive us, we take on the righteousness of Jesus. And so we have that breastplate of righteousness. So first of all, we have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Going further down the body, we have we have a belt. We can put on a belt, and this is the belt of truth. It's part of the armor of God. And the belt of truth is sort of like the one thing that will fight against the devil. Because the devil loves to tell lies. He loves to tell us lies, and he loves it when we tell lies or when we try to deceive other people and maybe tell them things that are not quite 100% correct. The devil is so happy when we do that. The Bible tells us that he is the father of lies. And Jesus, when he was talking about himself, he said a lot of, I am this, I am that. And one of the things that Jesus said, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so he is the opposite of the devil. The devil tells lies and Jesus always tells the truth. So we get a belt of truth and it goes around our waist, even though it affects our mouth. And the belt of truth is talking about the truth that we speak, but also the truth that God tells us about ourselves. Because sometimes, like I said, we can think very bad things and very negative things about ourselves. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, I feel so sad and so depressed. I don't have anything to hope or to enjoy in my life, which is not true. But when we have the belt of truth, it tells us the truth. And that is what God knows about us. God knows the truth about us. And he knows how amazing we can be. And he helps us to see that and to have hope for the future and hope that we will get better. We might not be 100% brilliant now, but he helps us to know that we can be better. Right. Then in our hands, we hold two things. One of them is the shield of faith. When you're going into battle, you need a shield. A shield protects you from anything that the enemy would be attacking you with. So if the enemy is trying to swipe you with a sword, then you could put your shield to protect yourself against that because it's made of really, really strong metal. If there were arrows coming at you, you could put your shield in front of you or over your head, and then that would protect you against the arrows hitting you. Sometimes if you were going through fire, you could put your shield and it would wave the flames of fire away so that you could get through that fire. You could run quickly through that fire. So the shield protects us from so many different things. And in the same way, the shield of faith protects us from the arrows that the devil shoots at us. They're like bad words, bad feelings, bad thoughts, maybe even bad actions that people would do. And those, they don't affect us so much because we put up the shield of faith against those things. And it's faith in God, faith in knowing that even though we might be going through this pandemic, and even though people that we know might be affected, and we might not have seen our relatives for a long time, and we haven't been able to go to school, and things are not normal, but we can have faith that God is going to make things better. That things are going to go back to not just normal, but even better than they were before. We will get to see our friends and be able to play with them again. So having that hope is part of our faith in God, part of our faith in knowing that things will get better. And that is what the shield of faith helps. In the other hand, in your strong hand, if you're left-handed, your left hand might be stronger. So in your strong hand, you are going to carry the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is called the Word of God. And it is all the words that are mentioned in the Bible and all the things that God says about us. It's so, so important that we have that ready. We have a word that God says about us ready. When we look at the story of Jesus and we look at how the devil came at the beginning of Matthew, he comes and he's trying to tempt Jesus and make Jesus do bad things. First of all, he tries to get Jesus to worship him. And he says, if you worship me, I will give you all of this land, all of this world. You can have all the riches you want. And he says, you could throw yourself down on the ground, you know, from this high mountain, and all the angels are going to come and save you because you're God's son. So then people will come and worship you. And he tempts Jesus to turn stones into bread. And he's trying to get Jesus to use his power in a wrong way and to show that Jesus is proud. But Jesus is very, very clever, because every time that the devil comes and says all of this thing, Jesus turns him away with the word of God. And the word of God is like a sword, which is why in where I was saying it's the sword of the Spirit is actually the word of God. That is a very, very powerful instrument, and it will can cut through anything. There's a part in the Bible that says that the word of the sword of the Spirit can cut between things that are very, very tightly knitted together, like your bone and your marrow. It can divide between the two of them, and they're very, very closely knitted together. And the sword of the Spirit is the one weapon that you can use against the devil. If the devil tells you you are useless, you can tell him that when God made everything in the world, he said it is good. And because God made you, he meant you as well. And when the devil tells you that you will never become anything good, you can tell him that the Bible says that God is the maker of everything, and he knows the end of things from the beginning. So he knows how the story is going to end. And that if Jesus Christ was if you were the only person on earth, Jesus Christ would still have come to die for you. And you can learn so much from the Bible that when the devil puts bad feelings and bad thoughts in your head, you can fight against him with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word that God talks about you. So it's so important that we read our Bible. and that we know some of these important things that Jesus says about us and that God says about us, so that when the devil makes you feel bad or makes you feel low or feel like things are not going well, you can fight back with the sword of the Spirit. And then the last part, the sixth part, are the shoes. We have shoes that we wear in readiness to tell others about Jesus. Because here it says that on your feet, in verse 15, it says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So this is being prepared for life, really. We have to be ready for changes in our lives. We have to be ready for the stage of our lives where we're at. If we're supposed to be going to school, we are supposed to be ready for that. So if you're wearing your whole armor, you will be ready for whatever responsibilities you have to do that day. Whether they are small ones or big ones, if you happen to look after brothers or sisters, if you have to do your schoolwork, if you're having even to deal with the pandemic and all of the things that are happening, those shoes will get you ready to be able to do that. And also they make you ready with the gospel of peace. So everywhere you're going, you'll be looking for a peaceful solution to things. So even if you wanted to get something that you want, you will try to find a peaceful and a good way to get it. And also, it helps you to be ready to speak about God to other people and to be ready to, because when you feel peace and when things are going well for you and you have an answer to something, you will want to share that with other people, and that will increase God's army and stop people going with the devil and having a horrible life. Because when you're with the devil, you know, it's all lies and steal and kill and destroy, and it's not really good, and nobody should be left in that situation. So really, the whole armor of God is there to help us. But you will notice that we haven't got any covering on our back. All of these things that I'm talking about, the breastplate of health, you know, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, all of that, you're facing your enemy. God never expected that we would turn and run away from our problems or our enemy. He expects that all of these things will be enough to give us the power and the confidence in Him that we will not want to run away from our enemy. But then in when we read Psalms chapter 23, it talks about the fact that goodness and mercy, the goodness of God and the mercy of God follows us. If it's following us, then that's behind us. So that means we are really covered. And that's why it's so important to read the Bible in all parts of it. It's good to understand how one part of the Bible works with another part of the Bible. Because although that was mentioned in the Old Testament, we can use it in conjunction together with the armor of God in Ephesians to fully understand how God is covering us completely. So we don't have to worry when bad things are coming against us and it feels like we've got a war going on and we have to make the right choice. The whole armor of God can help us. And that is why a lot of the time it is taught that before you go anywhere outside or to go to school, to go shopping, to go to the park, wherever you're going, before you leave the house or when you wake up in the morning, you should pray that God helps you to put on His armor, because then that will protect you and that will make you ready for parents, and maybe if they're irritated or annoyed, it'll help you to know what to say that will be peaceful and good. It will shield you from being hurt by what people might say in a careless way or things that they might do to try and hurt you. It'll give you power because you will have the sword ready, that if the devil comes and he's trying to say horrible things about you, you will have that ready. And the helmet will protect your thinking and will stop you being attacked, and your thoughts will be good, good thoughts that will take you through the whole day. The belt of truth will help you to speak good things, to speak the truth, so that you do not work with the devil to spoil other people's day. And because when we tell lies, sometimes it can really affect a lot of things down the way. Let's say you lie in the morning about something. Sometimes that lie can grow and grow and grow and grow. And before you know it, it's like it becomes a really, really big issue. So lying really is something that's very good to stay away from. So that's all really to talk about the armor of God. I have got a song that I would like to recommend. It has been uploaded up for you to listen to. But if you wanted to find it on YouTube, it's called Armor of God. And it's the American spelling that doesn't have a U in it. So it's A-R-M-O-R, Armor of God. And it's by Covenant Kids Worship. So if you listen to that, I quite like that one because it had actions and it was really quite interesting and hip type of song. So I hope you enjoy it. And the important thing is to remember the 6 parts of the armor of God. And to use them in your everyday life. Try and incorporate that into your life and into your day and the things that you do, so that God will help you to enjoy your day, to enjoy your life, and for you to make other people's lives better as well. So before we go, let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for giving us the armor of God, to give us protection against the things that the devil might throw at us and the way that he might try to make our lives miserable. I pray that every person who's heard this, Lord, that you will bless them and you will show them how they can incorporate this into their prayer life and how they can use it and remember it when they are under attack. So bless us, O Lord, and help us to understand these things more and help us to be strong during lockdown. Or if we're going to school, whatever the situation is, Lord, I pray for all the children that you will help them to be good and to remember that you are there to help them in every situation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, stay blessed and hopefully we'll be able to meet again in church soon. God bless you. Bye.